to know that Jesus Christ was, that he is, that he is coming, and he's this blessed hope that we have for the surety of that. We know that the Bible, the Word of God, is either true or it's false. So let's have a word of prayer before we start. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank thee that we may come into your presence on this holy Sabbath day, this day that you set aside to call us to come unto thee under a holy convocation to be with thee. Oh, Father God, thank you for the light of the world and the surety of his coming. Thank you that you want us to reflect that light and proclaim it to the world. And we pray that we will do it to the best of our ability. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, I'm going to talk about his return, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we know that it is a surety. And that we need to prove it by the scriptures, the doctrine of the second advent of Jesus Christ. To present upon spiritual authority the fact of his coming, to know that he is. We know that what is said by many ought to stand if it is supported by the word of God, or it ought to fail if it fails to receive the support of the divine, infallible word of God. We know that there are people that criticize this doctrine of the second coming. They say that it is a theory formulated by a certain group of people. But it is a doctrine taught by God's infallible word. And anyone has a right to speak of it. Some places, it's going to start in the Soviet Union, where politics and things will not be spoken of. It's already planned in places where they can't speak about Jesus. But to try and get the whole picture, we need to begin where the scripture says it begins. Jesus was, he is, he shall be forever and ever. He was with God. The word which was with God before the beginning of this world. And that same word shall in a form which it ascended into heaven will come in like manner. You've been told that. We know that that's a general statement of doctrine. And it's either true or it's false. If it's true, it's because God says it. If it's false, it's false because its origin is from human intellect or human reasoning. When Jesus came into this world as the incarnate Son of God, his incarnation guaranteed and made absolutely certain every other step that he took and will take. We know that the incarnation guarantees and forced the crucifixion. There's men out there that doubt the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they admit that he was crucified on Calvary. It's hard to speculate how they can do that, separate it. And if he was crucified on Calvary, we know that the Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, conceived him of a virgin. We know that the incarnation guaranteed and forced a crucifixion upon Calvary. Our Lord Jesus was clothed upon. He had to be unclothed. We know that the crucifixion guarantees his resurrection. And his resurrection guaranteed his ascension. And if you would turn to John 14:3. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That should be sufficient for each and every one of us. The angels even said that he would come again. And if you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Acts 1, verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. To know that the Holy Spirit said that, to believe every word Jesus Christ said, to believe every word Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has written. First, Jesus Christ was. He came the first time according to prophecy. Why not come the second time according to prophecy? And if prophecy was correct the first time, and it was fulfilled the first time, why not the second time? Coming be fulfilled just as well. We know that the first advent did come true. So why not believe that the second advent belief will be the same? We know that the evidence in the scriptures and in the word and from the witnesses are not in question in the first case of our Lord's coming. So why should one question the witnesses and the words about his second coming? So let's look at his first coming. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Micah 5:2 says, at Bethlehem. These prophecies that I'm mentioning today are about the movements of Jesus Christ up to and after his first advent. Jeremiah 31:15 speaks of the children being killed. Hosea 11:1 speaks of being called out of Egypt. Zechariah 9:9 speaks of his entering Jerusalem. Psalms 41, verse 9, chapter 55, and verses 12 through 14 speaks of his betrayal. Zechariah 13:7, speaking of his being forsaken by his disciples. Zechariah 11:12 speaks of it being sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:13, the potter's field being bought. Isaiah 56, that he would be spit upon and scourged. Exodus 12:46, Psalms 34:20, that not a bone would be broken. Psalm 69:12, that gall and vinegar should be given to him. And then Psalms number, chapter 22, turn that, if you turn there, Psalms 22. And verses 16 through 18. For God's dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all of my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Isaiah 52, the whole chapter, tells of his sufferings and his rejection, his patience and his death. All these prophecies telling of his first advent came true to the very letter. So why not the second? So if one doesn't believe on the second coming, they need to throw that part about the first coming. We have to take the Bible as a whole and believe it or tear it up and throw it away because it's false. But with surety, I believe that we wouldn't be here today if we believed it was false. We know that Jesus Christ is. Where is Jesus now? In saying that the crucifixion guaranteed his resurrection and the resurrection guaranteed his ascension, where is Christ now? 1 John chapter 2. If you turn there, 1 John chapter 2. And verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Where is Christ? We know that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you and for me. The Bible tells me where he is. And I believe it. We need to, in faith, believe all that the Bible says, especially about the first coming. So why not believe the second coming? We need to believe when it tells us where he is now, what he is doing now, and when it tells us what he is going to do, namely that he is coming again for his people. And yes, second, he is coming. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you shall also be. The scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is coming as Lord and Lord, Lord of lords and King of kings. But we need to bring it closer using these following passages. If you would turn to chapter 1 of Luke. Chapter 1. Verses 31 through 33. We'll read 31 and 32. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So to believe the 31st and 32nd verses and yet reject the 33rd, as some do, we know that that's not right. So let's read verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So if 31 and 32 are believed, why not the 33rd, foretelling of that second advent? We have to accept all three as true. Also, from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the 10th verse, through chapter 36, verse 4, you find Christ's second return foretold. In these chapters, it stated he will come to execute judgment upon the nations and the glory that will follow. Isaiah 42:1, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7 says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be our personal presence, a personal appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 3, you turn there, Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. We know that that part of the verse is telling about John the Baptist. And it is also quoted in the New Testament in Matthew 11:10. But we need to continue with that verse there in chapter 3 of Malachi in verse 1. The second part is not quoted in the New Testament, and it refers to the second coming of Christ. Malachi speaks both the first advent and the second advent in his vision that he had. He refers to the first part there in the first part of the first advent and then the second part of the second advent. In Zechariah chapter 12 through chapter 14, one reads a prophecy, which is the general theme, is the return of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom. With a surety, it's going to happen. We have to believe. We have to have faith that it's going to happen. Because the word of God tells us, and it's a word, infallible word of God. And we need to believe it. We need to study Isaiah 59:20 for the coming of the Lord. And also study chapter 24 of Matthew, beginning with verse 3 of the description of his coming. And then there's also three aspects of his return in Matthew 25. Shows a testing of profession and service and a testing of a Gentile nation. Also, in John 14, verses 2 and 3, and in John 14, 28, I will come again. What a surety of that. And if you would turn to Hebrews 9, 28, our scripture reading. Hebrews 9, 28. The doctrine of his second coming is our blessed hope. To know that he's coming, as it was read, Hebrews 9, 28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We know that Christ is coming back to bring the judgment of Calvary and the glory of his atonement to himself and to his church. And we are a part of that church. We need to be as individuals and as a church united and ready for his coming. As we are reading in our quarterlies for this quarter about the work of the church, especially in the community, we know that we have a work to do before he does come. But we know that his work is not finished. So we're going to stop there. And we'll continue the next time about that blessed hope that we have. To know for surety that our Lord is coming again. For his people. To set up his kingdom. We're going to spend 1,000 years with him in heaven. What a glory that's going to be. What a privilege to be with Jesus for 1,000 years and then come to this earth where he's going to set up his kingdom, to watch the new Jerusalem come down out of heaven and to settle on the Mount of Olives where we will reign for eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ and with our God. We know that God's word is spoken through men. But mankind needs to respond to his love shown through Jesus Christ. And he has chosen us to be that instrument this morning, to reflect Jesus Christ to the world, to reflect Jesus Christ in him crucified. Yes, our blessed Lord God, thank you for the surety of the second coming of our Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to set up his kingdom, to take his people home with him. Oh, Father, thank you that through the endless ages we will be studying the plan of redemption. But we need to live that part now, here upon this earth as representatives of the true God and of our Savior in the surety of his second coming. Yes, Father, we truly believe in the word written of men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the infallible word of God. We pray that it keeps us going day by day and that we will truly represent our Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbors. In Jesus' precious name, amen.